Friends, I'd ask you, please, this morning to find Proverbs 26. And that'll lead us into our scripture in Matthew, Proverbs 26. I want to read you some Proverbs. And if you're familiar with Proverbs, you know that they tend to jump around a little bit. But here we have a pretty solid passage that's kind of all on the same topic. And I'd like to read you 21 Proverbs. So Proverbs 26, verse 1. Let's pray first. Father, we ask you that as we open up your word and listen to the voice of your Spirit, we pray that you'll use the things that we learn to give us wisdom, Father. You know the task that you have set us to, and you know the people we will come in contact with. And so, Father, we pray that you will use us according to your good pleasure and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 26. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a flitting sparrow or a flying swallow, so a curse without cause will not alight. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. He who sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Like the legs of the lame that hang limp, so is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. Like one who binds a stone in a sling, you think about that, that stone's not going to go anywhere, is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Now let me give you another version of verse 10. I brought it with me. I think this is the NIV. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. Let me read you that again. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. Verse 11. As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. That's pretty lazy. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. That's trouble. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and so where there is no talebearer or gossip, strife ceases. And as charcoal is to the burning coals and wood to the fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Okay, turn over to Matthew 7:6, and we'll see our scripture for this morning. We've come to this verse in the Sermon on the Mount, which is a lot like a proverb. The Lord here says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Just a quick observation to make about that proverb, about the structure of it. It's what they call a chiasm. And that's named after a Greek letter chi, which looks like X. And that means that the first and the last part goes together, and then the two middle parts go together. Okay, the dogs turn and tear you to pieces, and the swine trample the pearls underfoot. Okay, the first and last parts go together. Okay, it's the characteristics of swine isn't so much that they're vicious, it's just that, you know, they're interested in only one thing, and that's food. And if it's not something you can eat, you know, they're ignorant of the value of everything else. They'll just trample it into the muck. You know, dogs, don't think of your household pet beagle or labrador, right? You're thinking of a dog back then. People didn't keep dogs as pets. I guess they might have had a guard dog, but they're trained to bite people. You know, your average dog was just a scavenger in the streets, you know, a mangy, vicious, wild thing, a cur, something to be wary of, okay? So don't give what's holy to the dogs, lest they turn and tear you in pieces. And don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet. So here we have in a distilled down form some instruction from our Lord regarding the way that we disciples ought to be discharging the sacred trust that's been given to us. We who belong to Jesus, we have been given a very precious treasure. We have something to prize, right? We have something that's more valuable than anything in the world that can be had. And that is that we have come to the knowledge of the true and living God, have we not? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit of God himself bestowed upon us, come down to live in our hearts, sent by the Father, by his will, to make us new creatures. We've got a new name written down in glory, okay? And that name is God has adopted me. And now, me and you, and we are together a family. We are his family. We have a share in the kingdom of Christ, which is to come. We have an inheritance. We have the hope of resurrection. We have the promise of immortality. We have direct access to God the Father through our prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. All of that and more we have. It is a priceless treasure. The way that God laid the groundwork for and then brought to pass his plan of redemption, and someday we'll bring it to its full conclusion in glory. It's a wonderful story. It is marvelous to tell this story. The riches of the Word of God and the excitement of searching out together the treasures of the mind of God through our studies in this scripture. Isn't that a wonderful treasure? Okay, it is something to be prized. Apples of gold in settings of silver. Okay, a pearl of great price. And my prayer for each of you, my friends, you are my friends, and my prayer, as Paul prays, that the eyes of your hearts would be opened so that you may see what are the riches of the glory of our inheritance in Jesus Christ. What is the immeasurable greatness of God's power toward us who believe according to the great might that he wrought upon Jesus when he raised him up from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenlies. I hope that your eyes will be open to see the treasure, the value of the prize that we have in Jesus Christ. All of this is ours. The scripture says all things are yours in Jesus Christ. It is a privilege to be admitted into the counsel of God and to be called children of God. That is what we are. We have this message to carry. We have an announcement to make. We have an invitation to extend. The Savior is waiting with open arms. It's an offer of redemption. It is an offer of eternal life. It is an offer of the wisdom of God, the goodness of God, the righteousness of God, the mercy of God. We've been told by our Lord, go out into all the world and preach the good news of the coming kingdom to every creature. To you, John Doe, to you, Jane Doe, is offered by God the promise of pardon of sins, the gift of his own Spirit to dwell in you if you will humble yourself before God, turn away from your sins, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him shape you into the likeness of a son of God. But the Lord says also, be on your guard. I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves with this message. I am sending you out into a world where you're going to encounter a mix of people. There's humble ones and there's proud ones. There's the pure of heart, and there's the poisoned of heart. There are some people who are reflective and contemplative, And then there are buffoons. There are gentle people and there's violent people. Okay, it's very important. Okay, Jesus says to his loved ones, to little children, to my disciples, it's important that you know what you're getting into. It's very important that you're not naive and gullible. Will you turn a couple chapters over to Matthew 10? Okay, it's not the Lord's will that any should perish. Do we understand that? It is not the Lord's will that any should perish. If God had his way, all would come to repentance. All. That is not to say, however, that the Lord expects us, his people, to win everyone to the faith, or even that he expects us to keep on trying. Preach the gospel to every creature, yes. But one of the Proverbs says, and then there are many, many others like it, one of the Proverbs says the instruction of fools is folly. Understand? Not only is it a waste of time, it can actually be counterproductive. So that's why I want you to turn to Matthew 10, because what you see here is the very first, so to speak, evangelistic campaign. Okay, although we haven't gotten to the cross yet, and their message is a little different from the one we preach, this is the very first evangelistic campaign. Go out and preach. And so I want you to see the specific guidelines the Lord gives to his messengers when he sent. Okay, this is a real-life example of Matthew 7, 6 in action. So verse 6, Matthew 10, 6, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay, now verse 11, whatever city or town you enter, inquire in it who is worthy. Stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust from off your feet. And Mark adds, as a testimony against them. Okay, as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you out as sheep into the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in the synagogues and so forth. Okay, beware of some men, that is. Okay, some of them will hear you, and some of them will reject you. So, you know, when the Lord says, don't give what's holy to the dogs, and don't cast your pearls before swine, he's not flatly ruling out proclaiming the gospel to unbelievers, right? Otherwise, how are you going to make any believers? You know, everybody starts out as unsaved. How do you get saved? How can they believe in him of whom they've never heard? And how will they hear unless someone proclaims him, right? So faith comes by hearing. But remember the proverb, the instruction of fools is folly. Okay? Trying to share Jesus and the riches of the gospel with some people is a waste of time and can be counterproductive. So you see what he says. If the Lord says, if someone is not worthy, you know, a dog or a swine, maybe you'd say, then collect your precious treasure and take your leave. Okay, so, you know, we need to understand, what is a dog or a swine, and you know, what does Proverbs mean by a fool? Okay, what is it about a person that tells you whether you should go ahead and preach or should you refrain? Now, here's where, friends, I cannot recommend to you strongly enough that you read Proverbs and read it a lot. And I'll say it again, read Proverbs and study it, okay? And studying the book of Proverbs comes in hugely handy. It is a gift from God to us. It's a wisdom book, okay? It's full of wisdom sayings, and that is insight into human nature, okay? All the people that live on the face of the earth are described in the book of Proverbs, all the diverse kinds of human nature. The opening of the book, Proverbs 1, tells you what the book is given to you for, and it says this, to know wisdom and instruction, to give perception and understanding. That's why God gave us this book, to give prudence to the simple, to give knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase his learning. Okay? We need all of those things in order to do our jobs as representatives of Jesus because, well, there's that very interesting combination of character qualities the Lord said, wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Very, very interesting. Harmless, yes. The Lord doesn't tell you anywhere that you're allowed to be rude to people, even if they're rude to you. Okay, we're supposed to be gentle and kind-hearted and compassionate, right? Let your speech always be full of grace, he says. The Lord's servant mustn't quarrel. The Lord's servant mustn't get baited into an argument. The Lord's servant mustn't ever, ever lose his temper. Harmless, but wise also, wise as serpents, okay? And to gain insight into the many different kinds of human nature and for what's prudent for dealing with any given situation. You can't do better than the book of Proverbs, okay? Paul says, I want you to know how to answer each one, okay? Proverbs tells you the very plain truth that some people simply will not receive instruction. Okay, 15:5, Proverbs 15:5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. Okay, a fool despises instruction. 15:12 says, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him, nor will he go to the wise. 15:14, the heart of a man of understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. Okay, that proverb has to do with what do you seek? Okay, the Lord's getting ready to tell us in the next verses, ask and seek and knock. Why? Because those who do are going to receive what they're seeking. Those who do, you know, they're gonna receive what they're searching for. Fools, however, don't seek the knowledge of the holy. They don't ask. They don't knock. You know why? Because they don't care. They just don't care. What does a pig, you know, what's a big pig care about pearls? Can you eat them? No. Okay, so then I don't care. Does it satisfy the animal instinct? No, it's worthless to them. Okay, it's worthless. So, for example, you see profiled for you in the Proverbs, the sluggard, the drunkard, and the glutton. People given to self-indulgence, just given over to self-indulgence. We had a couple in chapter 26. This is one of the funniest ones to me. As a door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard turns on his bed. You know, I turn over this way, and a while later I turn over that way, and a while later I turn back over this way. That's all I do. Okay? But a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who really could answer sensibly. Okay, a person like that just can't be reasoned with, right? Their God is their belly, Paul says in Philippians. Words about a higher life, a better way, walking in holiness, right? A Savior that spilled his blood for your sins. Those words are just not welcome. So you have those three. Here's three others. You have the scoffer, the blasphemer, and the hot-tempered man. Okay, Proverbs 15:18 says, a wrathful man stirs up strife. Okay, you know, people who love to get into an argument. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but a fool rages and is self-confident. The heart of a righteous man ponders what to say, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Hey, a righteous man thinks, oh, what should I say? How should I answer? The mouth of the wicked just vomits out evil, obscenities and coarseness and hatred and provocations. So, for example, look at the rioters and the protesters, so-called protesters there on the news. Okay, the vulgar signs that they hold up, the perversions they promote. the way they trample through a neighborhood and leave trash all over the place and smash things and yell curses and so on and stoke the fires of anger and resentment and rebellion. Is that a wise place for a Christian to go and pass out tracts? You think you should see if you could intercept a couple of those people and call them aside and ask, is this a good time for me to tell you about Jesus? I have a book you should read. It's not probably the smartest place to stand on the sidewalk and try to reason with, okay, because the instruction of fools is folly. It's folly. You can't talk to a person when they're all worked up into a mood, okay, who's full of the devil, and the Lord says they're going to turn and tear you up. Okay, not only is there no benefit, there's no hope of success, it's dangerous to you. Another very humorous proverb says it's better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than to meet a fool in his folly. Okay, would you like to meet a bear robbed of her cubs? No, not me, but I don't want to meet a fool in his folly either. Okay, all you're going to do is provoke the wickedness that is in them. Understand? We have to apply the proverbs to the people that we meet so that we'll make the best use of the time. Okay, that's what we're supposed to do, make the best use of the time. The Lord doesn't require that you win in every case. The Lord doesn't require that we persist in preaching to the heart of heart once it's clear that we're not wanted. Sometimes I think it's possible that a Christian thinks he's more concerned with the person's soul than God is. Christians can keep on and keep on and keep on and groan when even the Lord would say, it's time to let it go. Okay, let them go. He said about the Pharisees, they're just blind leaders of the blind. Let them go. Okay, and Christians can get very upset about, why won't this person listen? Come on, everybody, we've got to get this person saved. Can't you see it's an emergency or so on? Look, if you don't give the man his space when he tells you he doesn't want to hear it, you are just exposing this precious faith, this treasure from above, to abuse and defilement. Okay, the word of the Lord would tell us it's better to concentrate your efforts on people who are even a little bit willing, even a little, just show a little promise. So there's another proverb, 17:10, a rebuke, just words, goes deeper into a man of understanding than 100 blows into a fool. Okay, understand that? He's talking about corporal punishment. You could beat a fool 100 times, and that would make no difference. He's still a fool in the end. Okay? Whereas you know that you've got someone worth your time, if they're even a little bit, if they'll consider your words even a little bit, okay? A little bit of humility. Just, is this person willing to have a conversation with me? Can they be reasoned with? That kind of a person can be persuaded with just words, with love. And other people, forget it. Okay, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. So that's the guy. That's when you know you caught a fish, right? Spend your time on that guy. Now, we had last time, don't be quick to judge. Remember that, okay? But you do have to judge. And we said you've got to judge yourself first, right? However, if you have taken, and honestly, I don't want to just gloss over that. That's very, very crucial. You can't do the rest until you do that. But if you are close to God, and if you are full of the wisdom of the book of Proverbs, you ought to be able to evaluate character pretty well, okay? And if you're not full of the wisdom of Proverbs, well, there it is. Go home and study it, so you'll get there. At first, we assume that a person is, a person is a blank slate, okay? You meet a stranger, you don't know anything about this person's personal history, you don't know their religious background or their good or bad experiences, you don't know what's their outlook on life, you don't know whether they're interested in having questions to the truths of life and so on. It's not that hard, though, to get a feel for whether this person is, are they just inclined to listen? Do they find the message of Jesus interesting at all? Do they bear any sense of guilt at all? How much does a person love or hate the corrupt and sinful things that are in the world. You know, does this person seem like somebody who is set in his ways? Are they self-righteous? Okay, if a person is a dog or a swine, that's usually pretty apparent right from the get-go. You know, if a person is bitter and hardened and they're proud of their carnality, you know, that tends to be apparent right on the surface. You can tell if this is a person just simply will not or cannot receive instruction, at least right now. Okay, so Jesus is only, you know, this is nothing new. Jesus is only affirming things that the Proverbs said long before he came, and that is this: just don't go there. Okay, Proverbs 23:9 says, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, or he'll despise the good sense of your words." Okay, he'll despise the good sense of your words. Another one, the beginning of strife is like a leak of water, okay, like in a dam. It's like water leaking out of a dam. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. Okay, if you get a bad response at the beginning, you better back off. Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Strife and reproach will cease. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your own soul. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. Okay, many, many more like them. I just recommend that you study the book. You can do a chapter a day. You can read the whole book in a month. Start over again at the beginning of the next month. The days have arrived when people call evil good and good evil, haven't they? These are the last times. People are lovers of themselves. They're lovers of pleasure. They're blasphemers. They're unholy, unthankful, unloving. You have to be, Jesus says, harmless as doves and wise as serpents. You're going out into a world with a mixture of people. Not everybody is the same. There's no one guaranteed formula for evangelism. There's no, you know, the gospel, there's no one technique that makes it fit all. You don't have to feel like you failed if a person, you know, that, you know, I just, my technique's not good enough or something like that. I've got to try harder. You know, it's not your fault necessarily if the person refuses to hear, okay? You were called to just go with Jesus. And in case you need reminding, it's leave all and follow me, right? Your affection for Jesus has got to outweigh your other affection. And remember this, that in a real sense, the judgment of the world has already begun. And what I mean is, it's the act of our proclamation as Jesus' representative, is by that act, by the spreading of the word, that the winnowing process is being worked out in this present age. Jesus said, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. It's by their response to this precious faith, this holy commandment, Peter calls it, the word of life. Okay, it's by their response that the secrets of their hearts are being exposed. Okay, when you get to judgment day, really, there's nothing left to say. Like, there's your life. Okay? There are going to be some people who will see the value. Those are people who, you know, as the Lord says, they hunger and thirst for righteousness, but they were just wandering around in the darkness. They will come to the light. They'll make a connection. Okay, this will be just the thing their soul has been yearning for. They'll see it for what it is. It's a pearl of great price. And then there's people that are hard and impenitent and self-serving and proud. They too are going to reveal themselves for what they are by how they respond. Okay? And you know what? It's not that there's just one or the other. You know, it's not just two kinds of people in the world. I think there's a spectrum probably where somebody, it's like a scale. You know, some people are somewhere on that scale. And, you know, they may listen to person A but not person B. And also, I think a person could move up or down on the spectrum with time. You know, somebody who, as life goes on, they may get more carnal and they might get harder and hard as time goes by. Or it could be the opposite, right? I mean, when the tragedies of life come or, you know, the events of life befall them, maybe they become more receptive with time. As far as where they are now, when you're dealing with them, that requires discernment, okay? Like I said, not your job to win every one. It's your job to present. And you're not going to get any different kind of results than the apostles themselves got. There's nobody better to preach the gospel than them. But if you see, for example, end of Acts 17, you get three kinds of results. You got the people who scoffed, you got a couple people who accepted, and you got a bunch of people who said, we'd like to listen to you again on that matter. So people are different. That's what wisdom tells you. There's no guaranteed technique. Now, even Jesus, you see, if you read the Gospels, you see how he turned away from some people. He didn't have a thing to say to Herod, right? You read Acts and you see just the same thing happened with the apostles when they went out and preached. The Jews were filled with envy, contradicted and blasphemed the things that Paul said. And so Paul and Barnabas said, hey, look, we had to preach to you first. Since you don't consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we'll go to the Gentiles. And you know what? The Gentiles received his word gladly, and the word of God spread. Well, there it is. I want you to go home and think of I have two points that I want you to consider and maybe discuss them with each other. First is how important it is for us to raise up our children well in the Lord while they're still receptive. While their thoughts and impressions of Jesus Christ are being formed. And show them, as I said earlier, the richness of life in Jesus Christ. Okay? The Lord is gracious and holy and compassionate and kind. The gospel is a marvelous, marvelous message. His mighty power for us who believe. Okay, we need to model that, not just for our own progeny, okay, but we have this little community. Okay? We need to give our youth a good impression of the Lord Jesus, because later, it's much harder. Once the world has hardened a person, okay, it's much harder to persuade and to change their minds. Okay? Remember this. The impression that our young people get here at First Baptist of who Jesus is and what he's like, that's going to have major impact on their walk with him in the future, or their lack of a walk with him. So each of us, even if you don't have children or your children aren't here, each of us has to mind our life and character very carefully, because we're going to be held to account if others are hardened on account of something that we did or failed to do, or things we said to them. So that's something to think about. The other one is, doesn't it sometimes feel like we keep going over the same ground again and again with the same people? After appealing a certain number of times, if there's no change in a person's life, somebody that we know, when do we come to the conclusion, and maybe there's no clear answer, when do we come to the conclusion that, who's being stubborn? It's us. We're not accepting the word of the Lord here in Matthew, that just to let it go, and not trusting the Lord that, he would rather put us to work in another harvest field and stop going over this unproductive, thorny ground. And if we should make that decision, it's something that we could be at peace about. I'm gonna turn my eyes heavenward. I'm going to let the Lord put me to work in a different harvest field and stop working on this one. Not necessarily coming to the conclusion that God has given up on the person, but just this, that now's not the time. I don't think there's a problem with coming to that conclusion and having peace about it. Okay, there is, Ecclesiastes says, there's a time to speak and a time to refrain. And we just have to know, have to have the wisdom to know which is which. So just a couple things for you to think about as we close. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, as always, your word pierces down deep into our hearts and challenges us. We know, Father, that no one knows the hearts of man like you do. You know each and every person, and you can read their thoughts. And Lord, you know where our labors are going to produce fruit for you, and where they're futile. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll train us to be more perceptive and be wise according to the teaching of your word. Pray that we will receive from you the gift of the scriptures. And today we're talking about the wisdom scriptures, Lord, that we might examine them and digest them and think, Lord, that there are things that you would teach us about our own nature and about those of our acquaintances and the people in our neighborhoods. And in fact, we need to be less gullible and more wise. And so, Lord, as Solomon did, we ask for wisdom that as we go and take this wonderful message out into the world, that you would help us, Lord, in just the same way that Paul and the others did, to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks, to be ready in season and out of season to preach the good news, but Lord, also to know when it's time to turn away from someone and turn our attention, Lord, to those who will hear. It is a beautiful message, Father, and we know that you've entrusted it to us, and so we pray, Lord, that you'll guide and direct our steps and us as a church congregation. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for your scriptures. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.